Okay, this is hopefully still recording. It's taken me ages to set this up, so I hope it's worth it. I'll take my glasses off. You can edit this down, obviously. Right, you asked in the questions, intro to the video presentation, timeline with your highlights, interesting and important facts, and life events. I have a background in software development and computing generally, I suppose. I worked in real-time software. I've always been interested in the alternative side of things, and really that sort of carried me through a big part of my life. It was really in 2003, however, that I started to see the bigger picture more clearly. When I came across Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project after doing some research into a documentary about the Rendlesham UFO incident. And from there, I started to look into various other areas. A few years earlier, though, I'd already started to look into cold fusion because that seemed to have sort of faded away in the early 90s, and so it was about 5 years later in 1997 that I got my first domestic internet connection, my home internet connection, and I investigated what had happened to cold fusion. So I was always interested in that side of things. The second question, which is slightly out of order, was the where I grew up, where I was born, etc. So you might want to put this first. I was born in a place called Skipton, which is in North Yorkshire. That's the north of England. That's where I grew up, and I studied maths, physics, and chemistry to A level, and then I went to university at Lancaster University and did a degree in computer science and physics between 1983 and 1986. And I then went into work in the field of software development and engineering. So that was where I got my technical background. And going back to, in fact, and then in 2003, I discovered the Disclosure Project and I started to investigate what was behind that. I'd never heard of this. It was a very significant event. And I found that there was a lot of information which wasn't being made generally available, and through the internet, I was able to get access to it. Some years prior to this, I'd also looked into the cold fusion phenomenon a bit more. In fact, it was one of the first things I looked up when I got my home internet connection. So I'd had an interest in these topics. And really, it was that, the Disclosure Project, which made me understand that things were very different from how we'd been told, certainly in relation to the UFO cover-up. And it was Stephen Greer's connection of the UFO issue and the energy issue which really switched me on to these two areas, and I wouldn't otherwise have thought about the connection between these two things. And that was the trigger. What comes to mind when I think of the term breakthrough energy? Well, breakthrough energy for me is the idea that we can use energy systems which use little or no fuel or create very little or zero pollution. And there are a number of these available, some of the more conventional ones, obviously, which we probably needn't mention. But then if you start to look into the work of people like Nikola Tesla, then you can see that he discovered some very fundamental things about what he called radiant energy. So that would be one example. Cold fusion, I would consider, would be a breakthrough energy source. And of course, that isn't the correct name for it. That name was given to it by Stephen E. Jones. The correct name for it is something like chemically assisted nuclear reactions. Low energy nuclear reactions is another one. So that cold fusion is a misnomer. And there are other systems such as the HHO systems, Stan Myers system as well, which I would consider a breakthrough energy systems. What inspires you about breakthrough energy and how did you become interested in it? As I've mentioned already, I've really answered that question. I became interested in breakthrough energy when I realised there was a link between the UFO phenomenon and the energy phenomenon. Why do you think a movement to educate people about breakthrough energy technologies is important? At the moment, we have the situation where we're paying. I'll do that again. At the moment, we have a situation where we're paying ever increasing. Put it again. At the moment, we're at the point where we're paying ever more increasing fees for electricity, gas, and also for oil derived products. And this is a trend which has been going on for a long time and it's showing no signs of stopping. So those are very damaging technologies. We need to stop using those. Other alternatives like nuclear power have also produced their own problems. And I hold people who are involved in the energy cover-up directly responsible for the damage that's being caused to the environment through these destructive technologies such as nuclear power and the use of fossil fuels to a large extent. We need to educate people to the reality of things like Tesla's wireless transmission of power system, the phenomena related to cold fusion, which are a range. Technologies such as those discovered by Wilbert Smith in the 1960s and the black technologies which are held by the military-industrial complex. I was really blind to some of the most important implications of breakthrough energy until about 2008, the end of 2007, when I was involved with the research of Dr. Judy Wood and her connection of the Hutchinson effect and the events at the World Trade Center on 9/11. So that was really a big breakthrough as far as I could tell, and one which not a lot of people will talk about, and that's what I want to talk about to some extent at the conference and tie it in with some of the other energy issues which you're going to be covering at the conference. Could you give a short description of your presentation at the conference? I want to talk about various examples of how, and I want to talk about various examples of how breakthrough energy technologies or free energy technologies, you know, there's several names you could give to them, zero point energy technologies that have been covered up, and by covering that, I hope that people will see the sort of tactics that are at work, and they're perhaps more insidious than most people are willing to accept. And I've tried to document this so that people can understand exactly what's happening. And my presentation will include notes about people like Bruce De Palma, Stan Meyer to some extent, and a few other figures. And there are some surprising people that are connected into this cover-up, which I don't think people will really be comfortable hearing about too much. And I will add to that that I'm also going to be connecting the energy technologies to the events of 9/11 through the work of John Hutchison and Dr. Judy Wood. How do I see the breakthrough energy technologies becoming available to the general public? Well, to get these technologies made available to the public is going to be very difficult. There are some small-scale projects now, things like the ECAT from Rossi and these sort of things seemingly beginning to break through. But in the past 10 years, as I've observed, or 9 years, most of these seem to get to a certain point and then they disappear. For example, the Steon technology seemed to get to a certain point, and then we haven't really heard of it very much since. So I think it's going to be a sort of two steps forward and five steps back almost at times. And we also need to understand that there is a group with this technology already. It's kept secret. It's somehow linked into the military industrial complex, and the technology has been weaponized already. So that fact needs to be understood by everybody, because it is a huge barrier to making this technology more generally available. Would you end your presentation with the current state of affairs? Again, I'll be looking to some factors. At the end of my presentation, I will try again to point out that we have to acknowledge that there is a secret group with this technology, and we still need to probably need to learn more about that as well as the technologies themselves. What is on the cutting edge right now? Cutting edge technologies now, hard to say, because a lot of them seem to have been around for a long time, and then they're kind of reinvented or reformatted, and they don't seem to be greatly changed. So I wouldn't like to say what the cutting edge is right now. What, in your opinion, is needed for breakthrough to happen in your field or topic? Well, I've more or less covered this already. We need to increase awareness of what happened in relation to the events of 9/11 at the World Trade Center. So I will be continuing to promulgate information about that in the way that I've been doing for the last 4 years. What can people do to help the situation? Well, again, share the information. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Really, I think what we need is a few more whistleblowers in high places, more people like Dr. Judy Wood, who have put their career on the line, and they need to be coming out and stating clearly what they know, and that we can have a better world when we get these technologies made available. But we also need to be very careful in their use, so that we don't create even more problems than we have now. But when these secret technologies are fully revealed, I am of the firm belief that we can have a more equitable and more advanced, we can have a more equitable society, we can have advanced space travel, and we can spread out across the solar system and across the galaxy. And hopefully that answers all your questions, and I'll put this onto a disc now and try and get it over to you. So if you want me to redo it, please let me know.